following is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall.
And welcome back to another episode of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. Jason Bryant here with you today. This is episode 37, and our guest is Gene Zanetti from The Wrestling Mindset. He has previously been on this show back on episode 16, so if you need to go check that episode out to get a background on who Gene and The Wrestling Mindset are and what they do, we kind of go over the meat and potatoes of that back on episode 16. So if you go to matttalkonline.com and search either Zanetti or actually probably easier just to search Wrestling Mindset because, you know, with you Jersey Italians out there, sometimes you spell the names differently. But Gene, welcome to the program.
Jason, always a pleasure to be on with you.
Nothing on that Jersey Italian snap there, huh?
it's funny because the name actually, you see a lot of people write my name with one N, and that's because when my great grandfather came to the country, he switched it to two N's. So he started us off on a rocky note.
Yeah, so you notice when people call you by the wrong name when they go Zanetti instead of Zanetti. You know, it's I'm typing a Mitch Hedberg joke there that doesn't quite translate too well.
You know, I do that when I'm playing the rare times I'm playing basketball in the front of the house. Whenever I take a shot, I say Zanetti, and it seems to increase my chances of making it. So maybe that's confidence. What we're talking about, that mindset.
And we're talking mindset training, and that's something you guys do extremely well. But today we're going to be talking about red flags. And there's so much with the sport of wrestling that is mental, so much so that Kerry Colat, the head wrestling coach at Campbell, multiple-time NCAA champion and quite an accomplished freestyle wrestler, says wrestling's 95% mental. You guys at the Wrestling Mindset have worked with so many different teams in just the short time you guys have been around. But what are some of the things that you see that kind of goes with what Coach Colat says about this sport is mental?
Yeah, no doubt, Kerry Colat's one of the greatest to ever lace up the wrestling shoes, put on headgear. On his website, he talks about that, and he's got a great story about mental toughness, and he says how wrestling's 95% mental, and we work with several of his wrestlers individually, along with other wrestlers around the country. But you know, we're in a very unique position with Wrestling Mindset. We don't work with any other sports, so we work with wrestlers from elementary school, middle school, high school, college, right to the senior level, helping the women prepare for the Olympics this past summer. And we find that no matter what age the people are at, they tend to have the same kind of problems, the same kind of mental struggles, so much so that we name them the mindset red flags because they are so common. So they we could roll right through those.
Yeah, you see this, and from a media standpoint, we're you know, I did rankings for a very long time, and even at the high school level and the college level, you'll see wrestlers drop a match, and especially at the high school level where the kids, you know, they're in that awkward stage where they're getting their driver's licenses, you know, they've got freedom, you know, they've got girlfriends, and all of a sudden things don't happen. You know, a parent yelled at you before school, your girlfriend broke up with you. You got all these things that factor in to the mindset of a high school athlete, and that's sometimes what leads to taking losses. That also affects college and international wrestlers as well, the same type of things. You know, a little thing can just get in the back of your head. And what does that do? What do those type of things do that kind of convolute the champion mindset that you try to instill in an athlete, especially in a wrestler?
Yeah, and you know, it is interesting because we do see those external factors play a role in the athlete's performance. So like you said, maybe something unrelated to the sport of wrestling, whether it be school, family, friends, just external factors. not feeling your best one day, feeling a little bit sick. What we deal with even more, not that that's not an important priority as well, but a lot of the internal factors that have a negative impact on athletes' performance. The kid overall is healthy. They're functioning at a high level mentally and physically. It's just they tend to put too much pressure on themselves because they don't want to lose. They've been putting in all this time to their training, so many hours lifting weights, technique, wrestling clubs, tournaments they've gone to, that now they've put so much pressure on themselves, and their coaches and their parents, teammates have put a lot of pressure on them to succeed. So they tend to fall into these kind of mindset traps directly related to the sport, and it has a major negative outcome, major negative influence on their performance. So much so that you see them wrestling far better in practice than in a match. That's what we call the practice room wrestler phenomena, right? How many wrestlers would have been a state champ or a national champ if they held those matches in the practice room? But that's not what happens. You have one shot to get it done when you're out there. One shot at your goals once the postseason rolls around. And are you going to bring it all together or not? So being a practice room wrestler would definitely be one of those common mindset red flags. Not wrestling with the killer instinct, not pulling the trigger when you're out there. You know, sometimes you feel good, sometimes you don't feel well. Well, are you going to shoot or not out there? When you're on top, are you going to look for your best turn or not? On bottom, are you just going to lay there? Are you going to actively attempt your best moves? So, you know, wrestling too cautious, too conservative, hesitating. And that happens a lot because we give our opponents too much respect. Sometimes we know a wrestler is ranked in the country. They beat another good wrestler around the country, or someone in our state. They've beaten us maybe a year or two ago. So we give those good opponents too much respect, and that leads to a totally different outcome. You know, we choke in those big matches sometimes. The very moments where we could put it all together and make all that hard work worth it is very frequently when wrestlers wrestle their worst. I mean, how many times have you seen it where the semifinals are a lot more entertaining than the finals in the tournament? Right.
Pretty much most of the time, because you get a national title on the line versus being in the finals. Or like I actually think it's the quarterfinals at the NCAA championships are the most exciting, because that's where you win, you're an All-American. You lose, you still got to come back. So that's where it's like, okay, you know, that's where some guys are like, all right, I'm happy to be here and triple dip. But, you know, I think the quarterfinals, I see it because you've got the guys who are just worried about being an All-American. And then the guy that goes, I want to be an All-American. I know that I got to win this match. But I want to go back to a couple things that you had talked about and preface this by saying Gene's been part of the wrestling mindset now for a number of years at wrestlingmindset.com. And our relationship goes back to time when I was at the Open Mat. And they were writing the Mindset Monday, the Z Wrestling Mindset Monday. So a lot of this stuff is not necessarily new material. It's just sometimes you hear it the way you guys present it. It's like my wife tells me all the time, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Well, somebody else tells me the exact same thing in a slightly different way. It seems to resonate. What is it about y'all's program that has seemed to, you know, because some of these templates that you guys are using, they're not new concepts. They're just, it's a different way of implementing a tried and true concept, maybe to get through the walls and the hard-headedness that some of us wrestlers have.
Yeah. And that's really what I feel is one of our big strengths. And that's one of the reasons, one of the main things that inspired me to create this program the way we did. So when I was in college, we wrestled for Zeke Jones at the University of Pennsylvania. And he's a very thorough guy. He leaves nothing to chance. And he brought in a sports psychologist to help our team, as I know there's many sports psychologists around the country. And that got me interested in the field. I pursued my master's degree in sports psychology. I did that. The main thing that I saw that was kind of lacking with that was it was much more general. So in other words, the materials were written for all sports, baseball, football, golf, wrestling. And it was up to the wrestler and the coach to make the lesson more specific to wrestling. And also sometimes these lessons being delivered by someone who's not a wrestler, they don't understand what it's like to be in the grind of a long season, cutting weight, performing at a tournament, being, you know, all eyes on you on the mat. They didn't quite understand the unique struggles of a wrestler. So basically we took the materials that's out there and we repackaged it in a way where it was very specific for wrestlers. And I think, being able to communicate that message comes in the fact that all of our mindset coaches, myself, my brother, we were all former college wrestlers. So we know the language that the wrestlers use. We understand how their minds think. And it's very different than other sports, which is why, you know, sports psychology, which is great, I feel like it's not going to be able to communicate. It's not going to speak to the wrestler in the same way wrestling mindset does. You know, all of our materials are very specific to wrestling, and all of our mindset coaches around the country, they were all former college wrestlers. So, I mean, you really can't beat that as far as specificity to our sport.
Yeah, I live up here in Minnesota, for those who are unaware, and other than it being cold in the wintertime, the Minnesota Vikings have had an issue with their kicker, Blair Walsh, who they recently released. And this is where that you're talking about the sports psychologist or geared for other sports. Now, if a middle reliever is having a problem placing his curveball and a kicker is having a problem missing extra points, you're not going to be able to say the same thing as you are to the wrestler who is a national champion who's dropped three matches in a row and nobody can quite pinpoint the reason. I mean, you're going to have a different conversation with Blair Walsh than you are Helen Maroulis.
You know, yes and no. The principles are going to remain the same, but the nuances change. So the way you would language that message, and the little nuances of the sport that you know, a baseball player sees it from a very particular point of view versus a wrestler seeing it from a slightly different point of view. The principles remain the same, but the materials should not look exactly the same. Just because they're, you know, they're different sports, they're different people. They have a different environment around them. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm kind of curious on what you have maybe borrowed from another sports mindset to focus for us to be like, wait a minute, that actually works really well for wrestling. I mean, are there certain techniques that you, you know, through your sports psychology background, is like, wow, I never thought about this. And you've been a wrestler your entire life. This really works for wrestling.
Yeah, and plenty. There's plenty of topics. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. We've been seeing these lessons for a long time now. And sports psychology, where did they get these lessons from? But they've studied past top performers. They've studied the martial arts. They've studied the military, and then those people have studied people before them. So I'd say a specific topic that really resonated with me from a different sport was with golf. As we know, with golf, it's a tremendously mental sport. And, you know, you spend most of your day in your own head, not hitting the ball, right? Hitting the ball is a very small part of, you know, the whole golf experience, which may, you know, takes a couple hours. And one of the things that a sports psychologist said was, you know, when you're practicing your shots, being in the moment, staying in the present moment. And we have a full series of worksheets dedicated to this, that 70% of your shots should be in a trusting mindset. You know, he distinguished between the trusting versus the training mindset. Now, a training mindset is more cleaning up your technique, making sure your grip is just right, your stance is exactly where it needs to be, your swing, you're bringing it back just far enough. All those little particulars, those technical particulars, that would be considered a training mindset. Now, a golfer is recommended to take 70% of his shots in a trusting mindset, where they're not focused on their technique, they're not focused on their stance and their grip, but just rather feeling good as they take that shot. Now, again, that doesn't mean you don't spend a good amount of time in the training mindset, but practicing the way you'd like to play. And when you go into a competition, you're going to want to be in that trusting mindset. So it makes sense to practice that trusting mindset. You get that? So now how does that relate to wrestling? Okay, well, a lot of times when we're practicing, let's say our sweep single, we're making sure our hands are right here, my head is here, and I'm doing this with my feet, I'm doing this with my legs, I'm doing this with my hips. And there's a time and a place for that. That's absolutely important. If you want to have a great single leg, you better know where your hands, your hips, you know, your head, where everything is supposed to be. But there's also something to be said about the fluidity of the shot, the flow, the feel. And Zeke was very big with this when we were at Penn. He would say, men, get that good feel. You know, get that good feel when you're out there. And that's why he recommended a lot of times we didn't just drill the move, you know, two or three times. If we're practice partners, usually the flow is I do three takedowns, you do three takedowns. Well, Zeke's approach was more, he liked to take between 7 and 9 shots per partner, because then you get the feel down. It's not just so mechanical. And, you know, Bruce Lee speaks about that also, that you can't be so mechanical and, you know, not flowing through your moves. So the problem is, a lot of times we get into matches and we've practiced that training mindset so much that when we're taking our shot, we become very mechanical and everything has to be just right. My head has to be here. My knees have to be there. My toes, my hands. And what happens is we're thinking too much about that. We're overthinking and we're not just feeling and moving and reacting in the present moment. So we have to be in that present moment. And in order to do that, we need to be in that trusting mentality that we have to train in practice. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense.
A lot of information there.
Now, I want to go back to what you had talked about. You had gone over about 6 or 7 different things that are red flags. And where do we go with there? So let's start with when a wrestler is expected to win. And, you know, it's a tough opponent and they blow it. They choke. This is a semifinal round. They've never made the finals before. And they've always been like, you know, 51-0 going into the tournament. And then they choke. And it happens more than just once. It's not like they just got beat by a better opponent that day. They beat themselves. What red flags usually lead to choking in big matches?
You know, several things. We start focusing on factors that are outside of our control. We start thinking about what round we're in the tournament. We think about winning. We think about our record, our ranking. What are the seedings? What are the predictions? What are other people thinking about me? My family, friends, coaches, teammates. I want people to respect me. I don't want to let anyone down. I want to look good in front of other people. We're thinking about literally everything except wrestling. And we had a great experience about a month and a half ago at the Maryland Coaches Convention. It was a great event. And we spoke wrestling mindset, and Kyle Snyder spoke 15 minutes after us. And we both actually said the same thing about what you want to focus on in a match. And that being your effort, your attitude, and your aggressiveness. I mean, those are the factors in your control. Your effort, are you going 100% or are you going to hold back? Your attitude, are you going to stay positive? And your aggressiveness, your attack rate, are you going to shoot or not? Are you going to go for your best moves when you feel them or not? And again, Kyle Snyder said the same exact thing. So you take it from the best people in the world right there. But what happens is we get in these big matches and we stop focusing on those factors and we think about everything else going on around us. You know, so one of the things we like to talk about with our wrestlers is the difference between the predator and the prey mindset. Now, this is normally a longer talk, so I'll try to sum this up as quickly as possible. So there's two types of animals in the animal kingdom, predator and prey. Predators like lions, tigers, bears.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Well, that was not scripted, by the way. That was just one of those. Yeah. That just happened.
Right. You know, it's funny. You make that joke in front of parents, they laugh. If you make that joke in front of kids, they don't get it. A lot of kids with a deprived childhood, even though they have all this great technology, they didn't see The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, there's no place like home also falls on deaf ears while we're going down that rabbit hole for a minute.
Yes. Okay, so the predator animals, lions, tigers, bears, oh my, their eyes are located in the front of their head. Why? Because they're focused on their objective, what's in front of them. Right now, you look at prey animals, squirrels, chipmunks, rabbits, where are their eyes located? On the side of their head. Why? Because what are they focused on? Everything going on around them. So we make that analogy with wrestlers. You know, you wake up in the morning, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you see that, hey, my eyes are on the front of my head. That means you're a born predator. So now you need to start acting like it. And most of the time, we don't do that when we compete. We start to think like prey animals, where we have our eyes on the side of our head. We're looking around at what are other people thinking about us? What round of the tournament is this? What record? Oh, this opponent's very tall. This opponent has a very good sweep single leg. This opponent's very good on top. We're thinking precisely everything except what we should be thinking, our effort, our attitude, and our aggressiveness, thinking like a predator. So we tell our wrestlers, eyes in the front like to hunt, eyes in the side like to hide. That's a metaphor for your wrestling, for your school, for your faith, and for your whole life.
Yeah, I kind of like that. That's catchy, it's memorable, and it actually makes sense, especially since I used to watch a lot of Discovery Channel. But I also watch more wrestling than I do Discovery Channel, so I see more of what you're saying in the wrestling side than I do with the Animal Kingdom. Although lions, tigers, and bears, yeah, that's oh my. Now we're moving into certain red flags, and
yeah.
you talk about this and. We look at it, and being from a ranking perspective, you know that, okay, we build up these matches. We know that, oh, wow, I like this kid's style. He's ranked number 8. I think he can take out number 1, number 2. And what type of factors do those things get into kids' heads and become red flags where they're paying attention to the rankings, they're paying attention to the media? And do you feel that leads into this giving the opponents too much respect? Or is that something that can sometimes come from a bad coaching preparation? I mean, how are these things all fall and how do you block them out?
You know, there's many factors, but I would definitely say that looking too much, concerning yourself too much with records, rankings, seedings, and predictions, that's overall going to hurt you because it's not directly under your control. So it puts different factors into our head. I mean, whether you're the favorite or the underdog, your effort should still be 100%. Whether your coaches expect you to win or your teammates expect you to get a major decision or a tech fall, that shouldn't affect your positive attitude. And no matter who you're wrestling, no matter how good or bad the person is, that doesn't change your best takedown. That doesn't change your best move on top or on bottom. So we want to be focusing exactly on those factors and under our control. You know, there might be one in 10, 1 in 20 wrestlers who can get themselves more fired up because they're ranked lower or because they're ranked higher. But I've seen that do way more harm than good. And again, we're in a very unique position where we only work with wrestling. So you start to see these patterns emerge, and it really does tell a story. So whenever we speak to a team and we go into a practice room and we see the coaches have the rankings or the records up on their wall inside the team room, we recommend they tear those down because way more harm than good that does.
I'm going to throw a personal example out on how a situation where this doesn't. I don't know if they had them up in the room or not, but let's just say the athlete definitely knew what it was. It was this AA state tournament down in Virginia. I want to say it was 2001, 2002 in that era. And I'm doing the rankings for the group AA in Virginia with the previous edition of Matt Talk Online. And in the state finals, it was a kid from my high school who was classmates with my younger sister against a kid from Christiansburg who was then coached by Kevin Dresser and Darrell Weber. So they had the Christiansburg was a powerhouse. Pocosin, we had a pretty good wrestling tradition. Well, I had made the prediction this kid Anthony Burke, who ended up wrestling at the University of Virginia, was wrestling BJ Compton, who oddly enough ended up wrestling at my alma mater at Old Dominion. Well, they're wrestling as sophomores. Then freestyle, Burke beat him in freestyle. And I thought that there was a jump level there, and it wasn't a homer thing, but going into the state tournament, BJ was still ranked number 1. I picked Burke to win the match. And you know, that could have been a little homerish thing there, but at the end of the match, and it was close. The next thing you know, cradles happen. And it went from being, okay, this is a nip and tuck, to 9-2. And it wasn't close. And at the end of the match, I'm sitting at the press table, you know, typing in the results back on the dial-up back in the day. Compton is walking over to the coaches, in which one of them was my old high school teammate. And between the coaches, looks right at me and winks at me. So he was definitely aware of all this stuff, and it didn't become a red flag for him. So sometimes you can also use that type of stuff for positive motivation, or at my expense, embarrassment.
Yeah, well, no doubt it's fun to know about the records and the rankings. And that's why it's good for the coaches to do this with the press and with the media and on their, you know, all social media. You are going to want to make a big deal about the records and rankings because it's great for our sport. That being said, when we're in house, when we're in the practice room, when we're communicating as a team, we need to be very clear that that's not something we're focused on because it's just an external factor, you know.
Moving into the next point of what red flags can lead to lacking that killer instinct or not pulling the trigger. We'll see an athlete that's part of that practice room wrestler thing. We see they are unstoppable in takedowns. In the room, they were unstoppable with takedowns in high school or in freestyle. Then all of a sudden they get into a match and they just, you know, their shooting percentage is through the roof and their scoring percentage, but they're not shooting. Therefore they're not scoring and they're not winning. They're not pulling the trigger. How do we get through that? And what red flags lead to that type of thinking and to where guys don't want to shoot?
You know, again, it's related to the prey mindset, factors that are outside of control, outside of their control. In particular, making a match special. And this is a very common mistake. And where do we learn this from? But Hollywood, movies, this whole fan mentality, this hype around sports that's great for selling newspapers, great for promoting an event. We start to make an event special. And what we tell our wrestlers is treat live wrestling as live wrestling. whether it's in practice, a match, a tournament, if it's in New Jersey, Minnesota, Florida, Russia, or wherever it's going on. It's just live wrestling. Once you make a match special, 9 out of 10 times you're going to underperform. There might be that 1 in 10 wrestler that can really hype a match up and rise to the occasion, but that's few and far between. And that doesn't say anything about your mental toughness or you as a man, if that's not the way you perform best. Most wrestlers, if they just treat it like another tournament, another match, just live wrestling, they do a lot better. So making it special has a huge detriment on performance. And in fact, you see this in the Olympics, in the Super Bowl, in the World Series. If you listen to their interviews, they speak very differently than they do in Hollywood. They say, "I was just being me. I was just doing what I always do. I was just, you know, I was treating it like another day in the office." Even Kyle Dick, after he won his 4th NCAA title against David Taylor, he was interviewed by Flow Wrestling, and he said, "You know, I was just treating it like any other match." And they couldn't believe it. They said, "Well, you were going for history. You were going for your 4th NCAA title, and you were wrestling against David Taylor." And he said, "Yeah, but you just can't let outside factors play a role in your mindset." I mean, it's up there on Flow. It's a great interview. And when you watch these great athletes, these great wrestlers, you listen to their interview, it's very different than that Hollywood hype fan mentality where the coaches are saying, "This is the biggest match of your life. This is it. Now or never. Do or die. Make it or break it. There is no tomorrow." And then you wonder why a kid goes out there and chokes. Well, it's great for a movie. It's great entertainment. But that's not how the best athletes talk to themselves.
Yeah, I remember doing a story on Kyle Dake for Amateur Wrestling News, and we're talking about the pressure of, you know, going for a 4th title. He goes, "What is pressure? You know, what is pressure? It's something you put on yourself, right?"
Yeah.
Moving to the mistakes that wrestlers make, of course, this is the theme of this particular episode. When we get into the situation where wrestlers become cautious, conservative, and they really, this is kind of a little bit into the last point and not pulling the trigger. I think the two are kind of coexistent, but when somebody's there, they're too cautious. They're now afraid of winning. They're actually afraid of losing versus wanting to win. And I think that's the one thing we see most in wrestling. When big matches end up 3-2, we see the guy give up the takedown late. He was wrestling not to lose. We use that term a lot. What mistakes lead to the wrestling not to lose mentality, and how can we fix that?
Yeah, and these topics, like you said, they do all, they're all interrelated. They all overlap. They're not mutually exclusive topics. Several factors there. Well, again, I keep going back to that predator-prey mindset because it really is such a useful analogy here. We start focusing on factors outside of our control. Again, the predator mindset is your effort, your attitude, and your aggressiveness. That's what you focus on. In practice, we usually do a pretty good job of this. And that's why you see a lot of practice room wrestlers. A common mistake we make in matches, back to that prey mentality, we start looking at the score. We start looking at the time. We look back to the referee for a call. And these are precisely the things we don't do in practice. We don't think about the time. We don't think about the score. We don't look for a referee call. And this is why a lot of times you see leads are blown in the third period with a minute left. That's really when we start to see wrestlers start to change their focus. They start focusing on the score and the time, you know, looking at the referee for a call, thinking about stallings. And that's definitely contributing to wrestlers, you know, competing a lot worse, dropping a match right at the tail end. You know, and another thing we see related to this, and again, it's all interrelated. In particularly in middle school and high school, we ask wrestlers constantly, "When did you wrestle your best and your worst? What were you thinking in your best matches? What were you thinking in your worst matches?" And now, having done this with hundreds, thousands of wrestlers all around the country of all different ages, we find that most wrestlers, they compete their best against out-of-state competition. Why do you think that is in middle school and high school?
They don't have the familiarity. They've never put their hands on somebody, so they don't know what to expect. And they go like, "I'm going to go throw my best stuff at this person because I don't know how good they are."
Yeah, exactly. They don't know who the person is, and they don't care who the person is. And that's precisely the attitude and the mindset that you need to have to wrestle at your best. When you don't know and you don't care, and you just focus on what you're going to do, your effort, your attitude, and your aggressiveness, that's what brings out your best.
You know, about the other side of that, where I want to point to an example that at the Virginia Duels a couple years ago, actually it was a lot longer than a couple years ago. Michael Martin, who wrestled at Great Bridge, was ranked number one in the country, and Bradley Central Tennessee came out, and Matt Keller, the late Matt Keller, was on that team. He was ranked like fourth or fifth in the country. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I'm looking over at the mat, and I'm looking, I was like, man, this guy's 0-0 with Martin late in the first period. What the heck's going on? Then I go over and look and realize, oh, okay, we've got number one versus number four here. And the Tennessee wrestler, in this case, it was Keller, knew who Martin was, knew he was the higher ranked guy and was ready for him. Whereas Martin at the time wasn't paying attention. It's like, okay, this guy should know that I'm ranked number one. He's going to roll over for me. That's a situation where, you know, wrestling the out-of-state wrestler, you can almost become too cocky, and that leads to red flags and mental mistakes. Now, Martin ended up winning the match, but it was a battle. I mean, it was a great high school match between a guy that thought he was going to coast and a guy that came in hungry.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, no matter who the person is, it's just when we're thinking too much about the other person or the rankings, and this goes for if you're the favorite also, if you're the favorite of the match, you're the number one ranked guy, your ranking still means nothing. Your effort doesn't change. Your attitude doesn't change. Your attack rate, your aggressiveness shouldn't change. And when people let those outside factors play a role in the match, that's when bad things happen. That's when you start to see upsets. That's when you see people vastly underperform.
I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about what wrestling mindset has been able to do and how you've been able to plow through these red flags and these mental mistakes. When you get to different levels, wrestling mindsets work with Iowa State and Michigan at Division I level, of course, members of the U.S. Olympic wrestling team, Division II, Division III. You've got a pretty good cross-section of teams of variable resources and success that you're working with. What are some of the differences that you've seen between comparing the mental mistakes that wrestlers make from, say, the wrestler at Rutgers, say, Anthony Ashnault, who's an All-American, a guy like that, versus the kid at St. Cloud State, who might be just, you know, a seventh or eighth at the Division II level? I mean, the wrestling has the same problems, but with different levels and different, you know, there are degrees of pressure, whether they're put on yourself or by the fans, the coaches, or, you know, the internet. But the kid at D2 has a little bit of a different, you know, set of circumstances to deal with than the D1 kid.
Well, like you alluded to before about Kyle Dake saying, what is pressure? It's something we do put on ourselves, and it's like, okay, for the Division I wrestler, that's his world. That, and for the senior level girl in the Olympics, that's her world. That's really no different than a serious middle school wrestler, where that's their world. So the pressure, the red flags end up being basically the same, you know, and that's why we don't change our materials for any different age level. We might word the lesson slightly differently, but we see the same things. You know, we've seen Olympic level wrestlers this year make a mistake focusing too much, that they've actually come to me and they said the reason why they lost the match in the Olympics, they were more physically, more technically ready than ever, but they were focusing too much on their opponent's moves. They were thinking too much about what their opponent might do to them. Now, that's an Olympian right there, a U.S. Olympian right there. And I could tell you, we see the same exact thing with our middle school and elementary school wrestlers. Same thing. So it's, if you don't fix the problem, it's just going to follow you up. And, you know, they say, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? Well, if it's just like with technique, if we don't learn how to stop a double leg in elementary school, it's going to follow us up to middle school, high school, college, and the senior level. Well, it's the same thing. If we don't learn at a young age that we should not be focusing on our opponent's moves, we should be focusing on our moves, that's going to follow you up right through the Olympics, as you saw with that young man. So it's really, and again, having all this experience, seeing all these people, it's remarkable that they do all have the same kind of mindset struggles. And maybe the biggest difference, I would say, middle school, between middle school and high school and college, you have different greater media coverage, right? High school media coverage picks up, college it picks up, and the senior level. But really, other than that, everything remains the same.
Now, if somebody's interested in reaching out to you guys and using Wrestling Mindset products, what can they do and what can they expect?
You know, the best thing they could do is they could go on our website. Now, we have an individual program and we have a team program. So our individual program is done over the phone. We have We have 20 other mindset coaches all around the country. We're all high level wrestlers. Like I said, former college wrestlers, they succeeded academically, athletically. They're great role models and people. We do all those phone sessions, those one-on-ones. It's all done on the phone. And we have several programs for that on our website. Now, there's a team program also that we do. We have several different programs for that as well. And that's where we speak to the teams all around the country on Skype. So it's done on the phone and Skype. A lot of people don't realize this, but we don't have a specific location. So that's why we can be everywhere. The perks of modern technology with Skype and the phone. We could help people. That's why we have people all around the country. I would say the best thing looking for an individual, the individual program, your best bet is going on our website, wrestlingmindset.com, and sign up for a free one-on-one trial session. So you get a sample of the program, what it's like. You get to understand as you speak to one of the mindset coaches. They'll walk you through some of these red flags. They'll see exactly where your son is struggling. And our basic philosophies and the way we're going to help him get more confident and relax. You know, there's a systematic way to get stronger. There's a systematic way to improve your technique. And in the same way, there's a systematic way to improve your confidence. There's a systematic way to relax under pressure. It's just, these are not lessons people just stumble upon. You have to be taught them. And, you know, a lot of people make the mistake looking at what we do as counseling or therapy or motivational speaking, and nothing could be further from the truth. You know, you look at mindset training the same way you look at strength training and technique. You know, you could have a great coach, but you have to drill the moves that the coach teaches you. You have to practice the moves. So you're actively engaged in the technique. The same thing with strength. You know, you don't just think about doing push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, squats or bench press. You get in the weight room and you physically perform those exercises. So there's an active participation in the strength training. Well, it's the same thing with mindset. You're not just going to be listening to a mindset coach speak and talk about a topic. You're going to be filling out the mindset worksheets. You're going to be doing the mindset workouts that we give you. And that's really where the results come, not listening to us. That would be more of an introductory. It's completing the worksheets, completing the exercises, just like strength training, just like technique, where you're actively involved in the materials. And that's what's going to really get you to the next level. And I mean, with these teams that we've worked with, it really has been an unbelievable success. And we're real proud of our mindset coaches, all the teams that we worked with. It's just people are doing things right. It's taking a smarter approach. You know, you don't train minimally and you don't train maximally. You train optimally. And when we say the sport's 95% mental, or when Carrie Collot says the sport's 95% mental, I always ask people, how much time are you training physically versus mentally? And usually it's the exact opposite. Even at the Olympic level, they're training 95% physically. Well, if you're saying the sport's 95% mental and you're wondering why you're not wrestling at your best, maybe it's because those two graphs are way off. So that's where we come in and we help bridge that gap. And we get fired up about this because this is exactly what we needed when we were competing. You know, the results come really quickly when you know what to focus on, what's helping you, and what's hurting you.
Also, the WrestlingMindset.com, Wrestling Mindset. I got to stop saying the, Gene. It's one of these, it's just like it's a habit.
The Facebook. They dropped the Facebook. Now it's just Facebook.
Yeah. That happened a long time ago. WrestlingMindset.com and on Twitter, at WrestlingMindset. Drop the T. So WrestlingMindset. You know, if you search Wrestling Mindset on Twitter, you're going to find it. But also, you guys are also on the podcast train as you put some of your sessions out there, and that's available on iTunes. You can go to matttalkonline.com/directory, and that'll give you a list and a link right to it. And I just want to get off on a little rabbit hole about podcasting, because you talked about the Skype and the technology. Adding the podcast element to it and just being able to document some of these sessions, what's that done for the brand and the awareness and the reach? And how using this technology and this medium to further push your goals as a company and your goals within the sport of wrestling.
Yeah, it's been great. Really, anyway, there are many forms of social media. You really got to be capitalizing on all these things because, you know, you reach different people using different forms of media. Some people like the live calls. Some people like the recorded calls. Some people like Snapchat. Some people like Twitter or Instagram. And it's just that the more forms of media you could use, we found it's really extended our reach and it's made it more relatable to the kids. I think that's a big thing. And that's something I noticed in our field, in the field of mindset and psychology. A lot of times it's just not relatable to the kids. And that's why people are less interested and way less interested than they should be, knowing the sport's 95% mental, everyone should have a mindset coach. I think the numbers are like 80 or 90% of the golfers on the pro tour have a mindset coach. Well, why is it not like that with any other sports? So I think, you know, being able to communicate on all these different forms of media has really blown things up. And, you know, we've gotten a ton of followers on all of our different sites, and we always post up fun and informative messages. It's been great.
Been talking with Gene Zanetti of Wrestling Mindset, WrestlingMindset.com. I'm doing all the pitch work for you, but if there's something we haven't discussed or something that you guys offer, you know, here's your form here as we wrap up this episode of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast.
Yeah, and thanks, Jason, again, for having me a part of the show. It's really, again, like we said, if you keep doing what you're doing, you keep getting what you're getting. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Most wrestlers out there are not competing at their best. They're in second gear. When they're out there wrestling, they know they can do a lot more than the results they're getting on the mat. And if we're saying the sport's 90% mental and we're training 90% physical, well, that's not smart training. We have to train optimally. So really taking the bull by the horns and making sure you train your mind just like you train your body. Otherwise, we're just going to keep getting the same results over and over. And it's the saddest thing in the world to see a practice room wrestler, someone who's good enough to have that success, someone who's earned the right to be successful, and they're holding themselves back. So that's where we come in.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.